Well, hi there. Here we are again. This is session number 25 in volume 7, Freedom in Christ. And our scripture is Galatians 5, 1 through 15. The Apostle Paul was writing to the Galatians, and he wrote, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You, who are trying to be justified by law, have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." The Apostle Paul, over and over again, emphasized to the Galatians just what freedom they now have provided them through Jesus Christ's work on the cross. You know, many, many people do not really understand or realize what freedom they have been given through Christ's work on the cross. Just think of it. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords dying on a Roman cross in his own capital city of this world. Yes, Jerusalem is God's capital. Rome even had a temple. Rome even had the temple subservient to it. But one day, Jesus would send both Paul and Peter to Rome to conquer it. Now, it's really interesting. Many times I have stood by a casket and I have heard people who say that they're Christians, and I believe they are Christians, but they have misunderstood. They'll come up and they'll look at the recently departed there in the casket, and they'll go, "Surely they'll go to heaven. They were such a good person." Well, to say that wipes out the whole purpose that Christ came. Because what that is saying is that we work our way to heaven, that we do not get there by grace provided through the work of Christ on the cross. So, and then, at this time, Rome even had the temple subservient to it, and there are people who would like to have the believers and their congregations subservient even to the government today. That is not what God meant for things to be. You see, Christ made us free. Now, Paul chides the Galatians for even considering going back under the bondage of the law of Moses. The law of Moses served a purpose for a time. But then, when man could not keep the law, God sent his only begotten Son in order that man could be free and could be restored to relationship with God. Now, Paul lets them know that this freedom that they now have, theirs is complete. You see, there's complete liberation for all believers. And if you're a believer, that would be us. We have been set free. So, hang on to that. Hold fast to it. Believers, he tells them, must not be hampered and held ensnared or submitted all over again to the yoke of slavery to the law they could never keep. They could just never have kept it. Or to hold hope in, you see, for the resurrection, that and restoration to God. It's Jesus' resurrection that gives us restoration to God. Jesus himself said that he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Now, if you're not careful, you can become very confused at that point, because then you could say, well, if he didn't come to destroy the law, then the law is still in effect, the law of Moses I'm speaking of here. Well, no, he fulfilled the law of Moses. He didn't destroy it, he fulfilled it. And because he fulfilled it, then we have freedom through the grace provided by God through Christ's work on the cross. You see, Paul wants the Galatians to understand that whom Jesus, the Christ, has set free is free indeed. Now, why did I say the Christ? Well, Christ is not his last name. Jesus, the Anointed One, the Messiah. We have to go back to the original meaning of some of these words sometimes. Jesus was the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Deliverer, the one who came to change it and to give man back into the relationship that existed in the garden before the fall. And the Apostle Paul understood that following the law in one point would cause them to come back under the whole law of Moses. Now understand, God has laws, but the law of Moses was fulfilled by Jesus. Let me repeat that. Now, this is why the issue of circumcision was so important. There had been this big thing going on, and some people decided that they were going to step back under the law because, you know, you've got to have all these rules and you've got to follow all of these rules. They had missed the purpose of the work of Christ. The covenant of the law had been fulfilled by Jesus, so therefore circumcision was no longer necessary. And circumcision was the sign you were under the old covenant. But as believers, we're under the new covenant. So, Paul was saying, if you're under one part, you're under all the parts of the law of Moses. And he was warning them, do not step back under that, because you're going to undo the work that Christ did for you, because you are, in fact, rejecting Christ. The person who says that someone's going to go to heaven because they were a good person has actually rejected the work of Christ in that person's life. We are to trust only in Christ. Paul, in verse 2, there in chapter 5 of Galatians, makes it clear, if you do not trust in God, you know, if you do not trust in Christ, you can gain nothing from Christ. So our trust must be in Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. It is the Holy Spirit who is our helper by faith to anticipate and patiently wait for the blessing we receive by our being made righteous by Jesus. Do you understand that when you were made righteous by Christ, if you've accepted Christ, that you now, not only will you be blessed, but you actually walk in the blessing. Adam and Eve walked in the blessing. When they were in the garden, they didn't have to toil in the same way they did after they were removed from the garden. They were in the blessing. We must understand that in the kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in the kingdom of God, there is blessing automatically. No matter where you were born in this world, you were a citizen of the country where you were born. Now, there are a few There are a few little differences on that for diplomats and things of this sort. But basically, if you were born, say, in the United States, as I was, I became a citizen of the United States, not because of anything that I did, but it was just given to me because my parents were from the United States. When you're born into the kingdom, by grace, it is just given to you, and you are a citizen of the kingdom, and therefore you walk in the blessings of the kingdom because you're in the kingdom. I walk in the protection of the United States government because I'm in the United States. In the kingdom of God, you walk in the protection of God because you are in His kingdom. Yes, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. So yes, we are blessed. Understand, if as a believer you are healed, that may be a blessing, but you received it not because you got a blessing out of nothingness, but because you walk in the blessing. I'll teach more on that at some other time. The believers are then totally acceptable to God because of the work of Christ, and even though they have missed the mark. Now, what do I mean by missing the mark? If we translate the word sin, you will find that the word sin means missing the mark, falling short. So, believers are then totally acceptable to God because their missing the mark is as if it had never happened because the blood of Christ covers it. Believers have then been restored to the same relationship with God enjoyed by mankind, as I was saying, in the Garden of Eden before the mark, the missing the mark, entered into the equation. Now, this only comes about by faith. We must have faith in Jesus the Christ. We must accept Jesus the Christ not only as our Savior, but as our Lord. You know, you've heard me say before, many people have accepted the fire insurance. They say, well, I'm saved, but they have never really made Jesus the Lord of their life. And believe me, making Jesus the Lord of your life is not to put you back into any kind of bondage. It is to give you freedom. The scriptures say where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Paul explained to the Galatians, only faith counts as it is activated and energized working through love. Now remember something, the scripture tells us that God is love. Many people will say, well, if I had more faith in something, but they won't, but in point of fact, their problem is not a faith problem. They've accepted Christ, they believe what He did, but they are fearful. Notice that the Scripture tells us that perfect love casts out fear. So if you are fearful that God will not heal you, if you are fearful that God will not look out for you, if you are fearful, well, He might and He might not, or He'll do something for somebody else, but I don't think He'd do something for me, then you are bound by a type of fear. Well, faith is not built by getting more faith. Faith is built by the absence of fear, and perfect love casts out fear, and we know from the scriptures that God is love. That's how faith is built, by becoming closer to God through searching Him out. The scriptures are full of statements that say that it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it is the glory of kings, and we're to be priests and kings to search it out. So in searching it out, we then understand the freedom that we have. We come finally to the realization that we are no longer under the law of Moses. Now, does that mean we're going to go out and kill somebody? Does that mean we're going to go out and commit adultery? Does that mean we're going to go out and covet? No, because perfect love would never do that. You see? Therefore, we are free, but we are free to do that which is within the kingdom of love, the kingdom of God. And because we live in the kingdom and we live in that blessing, we can understand that. And we can, in confidence, wake up every day going, thank God it's morning, rather than, oh God, it's morning. So, it is through faith that we make progress. Just simply accepting as a child would what the scriptures tell us. And not just one little scripture, but having it fit within the whole concert of scripture, the whole fabric of scripture, so that we can understand what it's a part of and see what it's a part of by being familiar with all the scriptures. So this then is the race of which Paul speaks when he talks about, you know, you started this race, and we are to run and not faint. Now let me tell you about the word faint. A lot of people do not understand the meaning of the word faint, because again, you would have to go back into the original. Faint does not necessarily mean pass out. It was translated as faint, but it really is just slow down. Just slow down in your zeal toward the Lord. You know, we are told to, in one place, early believers were told to recapture their first love for Christ. Well, when you pull away from that, when the love begins to grow cold, that's what fainting is. Fainting is backing off, not being passed out. Now, Paul warns that there are those who will interfere and hinder this race if believers do not hold fast to the grace they have been so freely given. This is what was happening in the early church there for the Galatians. People had come in and said, oh no, you have to be circumcised again. You have to follow all of these rules. You have to follow the hundreds of rules. You have to make sure that the food that you eat is prepared in a certain way, and any animals are slaughtered in a certain way. And they tried to put everybody under the bondage of all of this law. And Paul is saying to them, you're no longer in bondage to law. You have been set free from that by the work of Christ on the cross. That's what Paul meant when he said that he preached nothing but Christ and Him crucified. He didn't mean that we were to leave Christ on the cross forever. What he was saying is that completed, and that's why that's what he preached, that completed and fulfilled the law and set us free. And he even warns that whoever attempts to have them return to the old covenant will encounter a penalty for such teaching. Many times I have felt the need to pray for people who would pull people back into all this legalism and this law. And they're so busy being perfect, they don't have time to follow Christ. They don't have time to understand the grace in which they've been called to and that they live in. You know, and at some point they even begin to doubt if they've ever heard the voice of God. My friends, I can tell you this. If you've ever come to Christ, you've heard the voice of God. Because the scripture says no one can come unless the Father draws them. You see, that's why people are so set free when I teach people the way you evangelize is not to go out and beat people and break their arms off and beat them over the head with it and compel them to come into the body. What you do is you go out and you demonstrate that you live in the blessing. Let them see the blessing in your life. I'm not talking about, oh, well, I'll just be quiet and people will notice. No. What was Jesus' attention step? Jesus went out and he healed heathens. He healed people who were not necessarily in proper step with God. What a great attention step. You know, if you go out and somebody who's blind since birth suddenly sees, you know, that'll get a community's attention. And once he got their attention, he could then preach to them. And they would follow him out into the countryside, 5,000 men strong, along with their wives and their children, and listening to him saying what? Blessed are you when? Blessed are you when? Blessed are you? He was talking about the blessing of the kingdom of God. He was instituting the teaching of God's kingdom and the blessing found in it because it is a blessing to be in it. That's what Paul is trying to explain here. That's what Jesus was explaining in the sermon, what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And he warns those people, if you attempt to bring people back into that, they will suffer a penalty for that. Many times I have interceded for people, lovely, wonderful people, who have just erred in that fashion. They get, it's so easy. I know I talked to a man one time and And he was in a congregation where everything was rules, 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 do this, do that. And he was asked, why do you do that? And he says, because I don't have to think. He said, they just tell me what to do, and I do it, and I don't have to think. He actually used it as a method to escape being in the Scriptures. And I thought, how sad for this person to remain so ignorant of the blessings that God wants to shower on them. You see, we are called, my friends, we are called to freedom. We are not called to bondage. When you were drawn to Christ, if you've been drawn, and if you haven't been, if you feel drawn to Christ, then you know that you either have heard the voice of God or you are hearing the voice of God. Believers are called to freedom, to love and serve God and each other. That's the purpose. That's what salvation is all about. Now let me throw in here again what salvation means. Salvation means saved, healed, and delivered. Now, is that blessing or is that blessing? Saved, healed, and delivered. All three, that's what that one word means in the original Greek. Saved, healed, and delivered. My friend, if you're a believer, you've been called to freedom. If you're not a believer, my friend, then accept that drawing from the Father and step into the kingdom of blessing, the kingdom of Jesus the Christ. That's my message for this session. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we worship you. We thank you that you sent your Son, that through him we would have eternal life, that we would live and walk and move in the blessing with you, that we could communicate with you and you with us. We thank you that your Son sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to abide in us. Yes, to even have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in us as believers. We thank you for that, Father. We praise you for it. And now I say the blessings of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, by adoption, or assignment in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.